Yes, Esdale answered levelly. I judged that while happenstance had placed it in my hands, a deliberate choice was necessary to keep it out of yours. You will never have the statue, Reverend Davy. The committee will never have it. And some day you may understand why this is a blessing and not a curse. You're telling me that I don't want something as powerful as this item. Nonsense. I stand by my assertion. Very well then, Davy said. He slowly lifted his left hand, palm up. It became very quiet. Even the wind outside seemed to die down. Esdale waited, and after a moment, he smiled. For his part, Davy looked baffled and even more angry. This is an unusual building, Esdale said. Its structure nullifies mesmeric power. Whatever pleasantries you had in store, you'll be unable to share them with me in here.
Then I'll simply wait until you depart.
Ah, Esdale said. He took a step away from his wife, turning slightly to face her. But it will be too late by then, I'm afraid.
What does that mean?
Esdale smiled. I'm going to do you a great favour, Reverend, in accordance with a text of scripture with which you are familiar. Despite years of enmity, I'm about to turn the other cheek. My wife, he gestured toward Eliza, is of a particular nature. By choosing her, I allowed myself to reach beyond nightfall, a circumstance that has protected me from you and the committee for these many years. At my death, of course, she would consume me, as all such beings are wont to do. But I will not give her the chance. My morning tea included a sufficiently high dose of a particularly efficient aconite compound, so that I shall expire. He slowly removed his watch from its vest pocket and consulted it, then snapped it shut. I'm reasonably sure, in a matter of a few minutes. Both Davy and Eliza were speechless. They glanced quickly at each other, then back at Esdale. You should also realise that if I were to perish too soon for matters to take their usual course, her hunger would remain. Despite your demonstrated skill, you would likely be consumed instead. But once again, the Crystal Palace intervenes. He stretched his arms toward the great ceiling and let them fall. Chthonic spirits are powerless at the place where we stand. Eliza did not speak. She looked shocked at Esdale's revelation. Davy stood with his fists clenched, his arms rigid. Esdale seemed unsteady on his feet. Eliza looked at Davy and spoke a series of unintelligible syllables. The sounds seemed to float away and disappear into the vast spaces of the Crystal Palace.
You have cheated the committee, Davy whispered. And you have cheated your nightfall companion, and by committing suicide, you have cheated yourself.
You will understand this better someday, I hope, Esdale said softly, his attention beginning to wander. If you live that long, he added, then said in a whisper,
our revels now are ended.
The words that had been spoken, elegiac, when the Crystal Palace had been closed at its original location in Hyde Park 8 years ago.
It was from The Tempest. And as Esdale's last breath escaped him, Reverend William Davy and Eliza Weatherhead Esdale gently lowered his body, with the hint of a smile upon its face, to the floor of the Crystal Palace. Part 1. A Delicate Pattern.
Aut potentior te, aut imbecilior leisit, si imbecilior parce illi, si potentior tibi.
He who has injured thee was either stronger or weaker. If weaker, spare him. If stronger, spare thyself. Seneca, De Ira, On Anger, 3-5. Chapter 1. Introductions in the Half-Light.
William Davy. I should be remiss if I do not state, at the very beginning of this narrative, that the last thing I would have wanted to do was to kill James Esdale. He was a brilliant man, a colleague, and I dare say a friend. It would be trite, however, to state that I had no choice, or that he brought it upon himself, or some other such nonsense, for it was clear to the committee that those statements were self-evident and utterly tragically true. I similarly refuse to offer any apology regarding the act itself. Taking another's life.